Good morning. Welcome to worship, and a special welcome to all visitors who are here. You're always welcome to come back and worship with us again. Just a couple of announcements. One is that in our prayers today, we remember the family of Billy Bloschke. Billy died on Friday, and her funeral will be here at St. Paul on Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and there will be a visitation at 2 o'clock here at St. Paul on Tuesday. And then I think Pam had an announcement.
Good morning. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so Christian Life will be doing a Mother's Day lunch consisting of lasagna and some sides and bread. And then right after church, we will be serving non-alcoholic mimosas with coffee and fruit. So everyone is welcome to come over and enjoy and relax and have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Thank you, Pam. I do have one more thing to highlight. Yam is running low of food. Their supplies are getting pretty short. If there is an announcement at the back of your bulletins, if you want to look at that, of some of the things that they do need, if you can help contribute, it'd be greatly appreciated. Okay. Other announcements? Anybody else? If not, then I invite you to rise as we begin with our brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you, God, worthy of thee, by what we have done, and by what we have done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, Open Now the Gates of Beauty.
Where my soul and joy will be free.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Acts, beginning chapter 7, verse 55. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 31 responsively by whole verse. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth.
My time is in your hands. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies, and from the will of those who hate me.
Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness save me. Our second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in me will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Maybe see. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you think of when you think of home? Of being home? Of what your home is? The home you may think of it. Hopefully you have a happy home. And it's a place where you are surrounded by people who love you, people who care for you, people that you care for. Home is the place where you keep your stuff. It's the place where you grow up. It's the place where you are most influenced in shaping your life of who you're going to be. Home is that place where if you are away, it's a place that you want to come back to. It's your home base. Home is home. That's where you belong. It shapes you. It molds you. It's a place where you are, of who you are, is that home. In our lessons today, many of these lessons speak about being home, or it speaks about the home, of who the home is, or it speaks about what the home of God is. Where is home for God? I'm going to look at some of these lessons, and so I'm going to start here first with the second lesson from 1 Peter. It starts out like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk. Home is the place where we grow up. It's where we get our nourishment. It's where we are fed. It's where families are. And Peter here then is saying, as a child longs for the things that are needed, as a baby longs for that, for that feeding, for that milk bottle. As a baby longs for that milk, so should we long for our spiritual home and the nourishment that we get from God, from our spiritual home, from where we belong. We long for that. We hope for that. I think everybody has a longing for God. It's just that many people do not recognize who God is. But I think we all have a longing for God. And so Peter then goes on to describe this home of God. He says that Jesus is a living stone and that Jesus is the cornerstone. All right. In ancient times, or in olden times, when they were going to build a building, the first thing that they would do, or the first piece of building material that they would put down, would be the cornerstone. And the cornerstone would be the most perfect stone that they could find, or the most perfect stone that they could shape, because everything was going to be built based on that stone. And so that was the beginning of the building. Where they placed that cornerstone determined where that building was going to be. And then from that cornerstone then, they would take the angles to build walls going that way, and then they'd take it and they'd, from that stone then, they'd line it up and they'd build walls this way so that they'd be nice and straight and that you'd have good angles on it. Also, too, they had to make sure that that cornerstone was absolutely flat, because if it was not, then your walls would be crooked and the building would not be sturdy. It all depended upon that cornerstone. Jesus is our cornerstone. He's the living stone, a living cornerstone. Because this home of God is a living place. And upon that living cornerstone are all the other stones that go to make this house. And that's us. We are the living stones. Think about it. Today you're being confirmed. And today is not a graduation, but rather it is taking your place in this house. It's taking a place, finding your niche. Where do you fit into this building of God? Where do you fit into this home of God? Think about when a home is being built, there's bricks upon bricks or stones upon stones. So who are you resting upon? Which stones are below you? Which stones have already started to build this house of God? And we can go back and we can look. In a few minutes, we're going to look at that first lesson about Stephen. Stephen is one of these living stones that was built, that went to shape who this Christian church is, who this home of God is. So who do you rest upon? But then, too, you have other stones, other building material beside you. Who is it that is beside you? Who is helping you? What part do you play in this? Who is beside you in this place? And then, too, who are you holding up? Because there will be other building materials above you. We are surrounded by one another. The Holy Spirit has given us His gifts, and we have our place to be in this house of God. We have a purpose. We are on top of others. Our others support us. Other people support us. Other people with their gifts, they support us. Other people are working beside us, and we are supporting other people as well then too. And if we're not here, if we choose not to take part in this home of God, there is a gaping hole. It is missed. And when a number of people decide not to be a part, not to participate, there is gaping holes all over the building, and the structure is not as strong as it once was. It doesn't provide, it's drafty. It doesn't provide the shelter. It doesn't provide the safety that it once did. We are those building stones. We are the living stones that make up this church. And there is a purpose for it, because here in verse 9 from 1 Peter, it's written, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And that's what we are about. That's what this home of God is about, or what we are about as we are part, or as we are living stones within this building, to proclaim the mighty acts of God. We go out into the world. We go out and proclaim these mighty acts, either through words or by our actions, of who we are, who we have been shaped to be, who is supporting us, who we support, and who we work along with. Let's look at the psalm here. It too talks about a house of God, but it describes the house of God in a little bit different way. Look at all the different ways the psalm describes this building. A place of refuge, a place of righteousness, a strong rock, a castle, a place to keep me safe. a crag, which is an outbursting of rock, strong rock or structure that stands out and above everything else. You are my stronghold, a tower of strength, a place of rescue, and a place of safety. That's how the psalmist describes this house of God. A place where we know that we will be safe. A place that we are guarded. A place that is well kept, well defended. That is the house of God. And that's where we are. Because enemies are all around us. The psalmist was saying, enemies are attacking me. Rescue me. Help me. Save me. And so he thinks of God and his house as a place of refuge, a place of being saved, a place where they know they belong, a place that is home of God. And then look at the gospel lesson for this morning. The gospel lesson that we read today is one that you hear a lot of times at funerals, but today's not a funeral unless you are sad and upset that we no longer have confirmation classes. No, probably not. So this isn't a funeral sermon. This is not a funeral sermon. Actually, these words are read a lot of times at funerals because of the comfort they give. It's a comfort that says, I have a place for you. You are welcome. I have a place ready for you. Jesus is speaking these words because the disciples were upset. They were uneasy about what was going on. Jesus speaks these words on the night that he was betrayed, that night of the Last Supper. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God also. He wants to bring them peace and comfort. They know they were disturbed because they were in Jerusalem. It was being threatened that Jesus would be, that the religious leaders were mad, that they were going to do something to Jesus. And sure enough, on this very night that Jesus says these words, Jesus was arrested. And it starts in motion, that whole passion account of Jesus going to the cross, dying, being buried, and rising again. It sets all that in action. But Jesus wants to assure his disciples that it doesn't matter what happens here on this earth to you. It does not matter what happens to you because you will always have a home. You will always have a home. Jesus goes to prepare a place for them, and that's what the cross and the resurrection is all about. It's about preparing a place for us that we may have a home forever with God. Jesus makes us righteous. Jesus makes us right to be able to come into the presence of God. He prepares a place for us so that we know the light has always been left on. We are welcome to come into his presence. So, how does all of this play out? What's it have to mean for us now? What can we expect for knowing that we are a part of a home, that we are a part of that house of God? And so let's look at the first lesson then. And as we first look at this lesson, it doesn't look very promising because this is the story of Stephen being stoned to death. That doesn't sound very promising, or it doesn't sound very inviting for us because Stephen was faithful. But it very much is. Because Stephen was one of these living stones, part of that home, part of that dwelling, part of the body of Christ, of who Christ is, and Stephen had full faith. He was able to endure this whole tragedy. But back up here just a minute and try to understand what was going on with Stephen. Early church was just starting to grow well. The first 12 disciples needed extra help, and so they called upon several of the other good Christian followers, and they became the apostles. Stephen was one of these apostles commissioned to go do the works of God, and sure enough, these apostles did go out, and it says that they did mighty works of God. They were out healing, they were out preaching, they were out doing wonders and miracles. But the religious leaders were starting to get jealous. They were upset. And so they plotted and they arrested Stephen. They set him up, had all sorts of false witnesses come against him. But Stephen, in his defense, makes a speech. And in that speech, he tells the history of Israel, of how they have rejected the prophets. He starts with Moses, of how when Moses went up on the mountain, the people got anxious or they got impatient and they built a false idol to worship. How the people rejected Moses and they rejected the law. And then he reminds them throughout history of Israel how they rejected the prophets that God sent to them. They rejected the prophets, many of them they even killed. And then Stephen makes the claim that even the Messiah, the promised Messiah whom all of Israel had been waiting for hundreds of years, when he did arrive, you did not recognize him. He became the stumbling block for you, and you tripped over him. You fell. You rejected him, that Messiah sent from God, that Christ. You rejected him and had him killed. And that's where our lesson for today picks up. It says, they were enraged. And so they take Stephen, they grab him, they drag him out to the edge of the city, and they hurl stones at him until he dies. Stones of death. For us as Christians, we have stones hurled at us too many times. And that's why the confirmation program is important, of why you are being confirmed, so that your faith may be increased, so that when stones are hurled at you, and they can be stones of peer pressure, stones of what the society is saying, all the lies, the rumors, the false material that comes out. Everything is being hurled at us. But yet, we can still withstand it. For Stephen, he was able to withstand these stones of death being hurled at him. As a matter of fact, when right before he dies, he says, "Father, do not hold their sins against them." He was ready to forgive them, even though they were trying to kill him. That faith was that strong. And there's also another thing in here then too. There's one short line in there that says there was a young man standing there and they put their coats at his feet, and his name was Saul. Saul became Paul after his conversion and became the greatest missionary in the Christian church. We never know where we're going to plant seeds. We never know who's looking at us. We never know who's longing for that house of God to be in. We are the living stones that make up that house of God. We are the ones who are here now, in this time, in this place, and we are called to be a holy nation. We're called to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called us out of darkness into that marvelous light. We are that house, that holy nation, that precious body of Christ. We are here to proclaim the good news. And it doesn't matter for us. We know that we have a home here. We make up that home. And we know, too, that this place that we call home, this body that we have that we call home, and the house or the dwelling that you live in, and this community that you live in, one day will not be here. But we always know that we will have a home with God. We will live in that house of God, in that place prepared for us. God always calls us back home, and when we go away, it is the place that we long to return. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "You Are the Way."
These persons have been instructed in the Christian faith and desire to make public affirmation of their baptism. Mark Bingham, Kaylor Carriger, Kellen Deal, Aiden Garcia, Allie Geffert, Parker Gomert, Palin Copeman, Kendall Severs, and Colt Speed.
Dear friends, we rejoice that you now desire to make public profession of your faith and assume greater responsibility in the life of our Christian community and its mission in the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the
resurrection. Let us pray for those who are affirming their baptism and for all the baptized everywhere, that they may be redeemed from all evil and rescued from the way of sin and death. Lord, in your mercy. That the Holy Spirit may open their hearts to your grace and truth, Lord, in your mercy. That they may be kept in the faith and communion of your holy church, Lord, in your mercy. That they may be sent into the world in witness to your love, Lord, in your mercy. That they may be brought to the fullness of your peace and glory, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we ask that you bring healing, hope, and the light of your dear presence to everyone who sits in the darkness of suffering, shame, or sorrow. We pray especially for Catherine Brown, Joyce Bakke, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Kristen Russell, Judy and Gary Taylor. We pray for the well-being of the Woods and Pachinski families, and we ask for blessings for Charlie Cook. We also pray for the families of Warner Lamprick and Billy Bloschke. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? To live among God's faithful people, to hear his word and share in his supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Thank you.
Neil. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, through water and the Spirit, you have made these men and women your own. You forgave them all their sins and brought them to newness of life. Continue to strengthen them with the Holy Spirit and daily increase in them your gifts of grace, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Mark's confirmation verse is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 57. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he never leave us nor forsake us. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Mark Anthony Bingham Jr. the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm his faith. Guide his life, empower him in his serving, and give him patience in suffering, and bring him to everlasting life. Kaler's confirmation verse is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. Be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Kaler Leah Carriger the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Kellen's confirmation verse is Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Kellen Aaron Deal the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm his faith, guide his life, empower him in his serving, give him patience in suffering, and bring him to everlasting life. Aidan's confirmation verse is Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Aidan Rain Garcia the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Allie's confirmation verse is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. But if from these you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Allie Grace Geffert the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Parker's confirmation verse is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Parker Laurent Gohmert the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Amen. Palin's confirmation verse is Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going both now and forevermore. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Palin Elizabeth Copeman the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Kendall's confirmation verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up and kindle Grace Seavers the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm her faith, guide her life, empower her in her serving, give her patience in suffering, and bring her to everlasting life. Colt's confirmation verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. Be strong. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, stir up in Colt Michael Speed the gift of your Holy Spirit. Confirm his faith, guide his life, empower him in his serving, give him patience in suffering, and bring him to everlasting life. Amen. Peace be with you. Okay, no, stand up. Our service continues with the offering. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Body of Christ given for you. Spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, Christ is Alive, let Christians sing.